1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Tomorrow, the White House will redesignate Yemen's Houthi rebels as global terrorists. Two officials familiar with the decision say it's in response to the Iran-backed militia's attacks on commercial shipping in the Red Sea. The Republican debate this week in New Hampshire, hosted by ABC News and WMUR-TV, is canceled after Nikki Haley refused to participate. Former President Trump at a rally in New Hampshire tonight.
If you want to defeat the radical left Democrats and save America, you must vote for your favorite president of all time, Donald J. Trump, this week.
He was joined by Vivek Ramaswamy, who dropped out last night and endorsed him. A stopgap funding bill has cleared a key test vote in the Senate. A final vote's expected by Thursday. The government could shut down on Friday night at midnight without at least a short-term funding bill in place. A federal judge blocked JetBlue's merger with Spirit Airlines, saying it could lead to higher airfares. This is ABC News. The United Nations is calling on Alabama to halt its first execution by nitrogen gas this month over worries it could violate international law by amounting to torture. Kenneth Smith was convicted in a 1988 murder for hire and is scheduled to die on January 25th.
Nitrogen gas has never been used in the United States to execute human beings. The American Veterinary Medical Association recommends giving even large animals a sedative when being euthanized in this manner, while Alabama's protocol for execution by nitrogen asphyxiation makes no provision for sedation of human beings prior to execution.
UN human rights spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani, a European ban on selling drugs for executions has left states without drugs for lethal injection executions. Two NYPD officers shot and wounded responding to a 911 call about a woman being assaulted by her son this afternoon. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making.
That's Tom Derzwicki from Bayside Ice and Recovery in Suamico. He's been rescuing people and their trucks after falling through thin ice for more than 20 years.
The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on a pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know, that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot, 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack.
DNR officials say check with locals who know the conditions, but also know ice safety is never 100%.
Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
300,000 people ice fish in Wisconsin. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senate Republicans voted to fire another one of Governor Evers' appointees Tuesday, this time Tyler Huebner of the state's Public Service Commission. Evers is appointing Christy Nieto to take his place. Senate Republicans have fired 8 of Evers' appointees since last fall. The keynote speaker at this year's State of Wisconsin Martin Luther King Day celebration says he wants the promise of justice one day to happen now.
It is ridiculous that people are attacking diversity, equity, and inclusion, but refuse to implement laws to remove guns from the hands of those who continue to shoot innocent children in schools and malls and even in faith places.
The Reverend Marcus Allen is a Baptist minister in Madison. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Marquette gets a W. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After back-to-back losses, the Marquette Golden Eagles beat Villanova. Final score 87-74. Head coach Shaka Smart says easier said than done.
I mean, Villanova's got grown men. They got like 8 seniors. Toughness, physicality. There's nobody on their team where you can hide a guy in a matchup.
Marquette heads to St. John's on Saturday. Big Ten, number 15th ranked Wisconsin takes on Penn State on the road. NBA, it's the Bucks in Cleveland tomorrow night to kick off a 3-game road trip. NFL, the Packers face the 49ers Saturday night at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Kickoff at 7:15. I asked right guard John Runyon about the growth of quarterback Jordan Love.
Unbelievable, just how much he's grown. Dude, I think we've won 8 of the last 11 games, and he's really just starting to flourish, feels comfortable. This is his offense, his team, and it's going to keep going, keep pushing, and on to San Francisco now.
That's Packers right guard John Runyon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With weather on the Eagle, I'm Corey Hartman. Wind chill advisory tonight. One more bitterly cold night. 4 below 0, wind chills to 15 below. For Wednesday, partly sunny, highs near 13. 12 on Thursday, and some reinforcing cold air for Friday and Saturday. Finally to the 30s by Monday.
Right now, 3 degrees.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Talk about lacrosse in Wisconsin
without the yelling and screaming.
These are real conversations about things that affect you. This is Eagle 1490.
596-1223.
The AM 950 2024 calendar is still available, and there's still time to take part in the brand new thank you. Become a sustaining member of AM 950 with a recurring monthly payment of $50 or more, or make a one-time membership donation of $250 or more, and not only will you receive the AM 950 calendar and the AM 950 tote bag as a thank you, but you'll also be invited to an exclusive AM 950 thank you, a meet and greet with me, Matt McNeil. The meet and greet will be happening soon, so you have to sign up now. For more details or to sign up to become a member, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 0, wind chills down near 15 below. Wednesday, sunshine with a high of 8 above, but wind chills of 15 below. Don't drive too fast or you'll miss Scotcha Mama's Hot Barbecue, offering big taste out of a little place. On the corner of Nicollet and Diamond Lake Road in South Minneapolis, just west of I-35W. ScotchaMamas.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, Hindi Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, and Native news and events, and I always like to be right once a day. So, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Mm-hmm. You are right, Daga. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting honest Native news stories and events from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, I just got to give a quick shout out to all our Patreon people out there, and we really appreciate them. You know, Haley, when we were fighting COVID and all our advertisers were shut down and we didn't have people advertising our show, the support we got from Patreon was just unbelievable. And we really appreciate that now, too. So I just want to give everyone a big shout out that's been a Patreon member and also is a Patreon member. So big peeny geegy.
Yeah.
So we're going to have an awesome show today, and I want to talk a little bit about that before we get going. Tomorrow we're going to be live at All My Relations Gallery in Minneapolis on 1414.
Mm-hmm.
1414 Franklin Avenue, and we're going to be there at 5:30 live with the show, or 5 at the show live, and then 5:30 we're going to be with Kathy Coates, who's going to be our guest, and she wrote the book To Banish Forever, Secret Society, the Ho-Chunk, and the Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. And so we're really excited to support that and talk about the removal of Ho-Chunk from Minnesota, which is it's a told story, but it needs to be really told again. And I believe, too, that people that under 40 years old really don't know this story. I know a lot of our relatives that are older know that Ho-Chunk, this is our land too, mm-hmm. here in Minnesota, and also before there were boundaries. And also we were moved by the state by the federal government. And right now you and I, Haley, are living here illegally. We're not supposed to be living here. Ho-Chunks are not supposed to be living in the state of Minnesota because we were removed in 1862.
Right. Which is, yeah, I agree too that I think a lot of maybe Ho-Chunk people, if you're enrolled Ho-Chunk or even Winnebago, you might know the history of how the original Ho-Chunk people were pushed from the state, even from the Great Lake there in the Green Bay, Madison area, all the way west to the Tomah, Black River, Wisconsin Dells area. And then from there, we're pushed to the Blue Earth Reservation just near Mankato. And then mm-hmm. from there, even to Winnebago, Nebraska. So,
right. And not to mention, we were pushed up north, too, to go between the fighting Lakota Dakotas and the Ojibwe. And that was ridiculous, too, because why would they put people between people that were fighting? So other than trying to get rid of them, you know, the land there, and Kathy will talk about this because we're going to have her on today, the land that our relatives were pushed off to right in the middle of growing season. You know, they had crops in their houses, and white settlers just came in and took over their stuff as the military put them on boats and trains to get them out of here, Minnesota. It was over, you know, which kind of surprised me. I thought, I didn't know the number, but mm-hmm. it was over 1,000 Ho-Chunks that were removed.
Yeah. Quite a bit. And I'm excited to read this book of Kathy Coates. Is just, she's a great historical researcher. She is working for the metadatabase at the U of M in the Twin Cities, the libraries. And I just think, well, I hope that we get a lot of people come out to All My Relations tomorrow in Minneapolis on the American Indian Cultural Corridor there and just show support, you know, whether you're Ho-Chunk or not, you know, it's just great to have our allies there in to support and just hear our truth.
And it's good, too, to just see people, and it'll be great to see. I know there's quite a few people that will be there that we know that we're friends of, and we're just opening it up to everybody to come on down, get a book, listen to the author, listen to Amy Lone Tree. She's an author of Decolonized Museums, representing the Native American in the National and Tribal Museums. And I know she's done other books on Ho-Chunk, and she's a professor out in Southern Cal, I think.
Yeah, University of California, Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz, cool. And so she'll be flying in, too. And so it's going to be a celebration, but also a kind of a mourning, too, of what happened to our relatives. Because, as you know, Haley, it talks a little bit about this. A lot of our relatives didn't make it to the next move, which was mm-hmm. Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, too, if we were to go down to that land and maybe research what's underneath the earth. And I don't know what you would find, you know, maybe some relatives, you know, that didn't make it to the next push.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let me just read this. It's on the back of the book, and the book will be there, and she'll sign it. And Haley and my Hinu will be there, too. Mm-hmm. Jaleesa helping you out.
Yep.
And in 1863, after the end of the U.S. Dakota War, a group of white men in Mankato, Minnesota, formed a secret society pledging to expel the Ho-Chunk from the nearby Blue Earth Reservation with the goal of claiming for themselves some of the richest farmland in the world.
It's going to be a really, really great talk. So if you're free tomorrow, come join us out at All My Relations Art Gallery, 1414 East Franklin Avenue out there in Minneapolis. But since we're speaking on Wisconsin, kind of the Ho-Chunk history, we have a great update from the Wisconsin governor, Tony Evers. So let's go ahead and take a listen to the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Ensuring access to clean drinking water, including getting PFAS, lead, and other harmful contaminants out of our water, has been a top priority for me and my administration. Last year, we successfully secured the first real investment by legislative Republicans to address PFAS contamination statewide after years of asking for their urgent action. The bipartisan budget I was proud to sign into law last July provided $125 million to address and prevent PFAS contamination statewide and to help get resources out to the folks, families, and communities, whether they rely on municipal water supplies or private wells. Unfortunately, even though this investment was deliberated, negotiated, and approved during the budget process, Republicans have refused to release these funds, even as families and communities across our state are trying to mitigate the effects of PFAS contamination across our state every day. I recently submitted a formal request to urge Republicans to release our $125 million in investments to address PFAS and to take action to protect Wisconsin's groundwater, but there's been no further movement to date. Folks, this funding shouldn't be sitting around in Madison waiting for Republicans to get their act together. We have work to do to make sure every Wisconsinite can trust the water coming out of their tap and to keep our kids, our families, and our livestock and crops safe from contaminants. I'm calling on Republicans to release $125 million in funds to address PFAS statewide so we can continue our work to ensure Wisconsinites have access to clean, safe water that families, farmers, communities, and so many others rely upon every single day. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, a big pinigigi to the governor of Wisconsin. They need to do something, and we need to do something about that.
PFAS. I know. And PFAS, they're so bad for the environment. They don't break down, and they move through soils and contaminate your drinking water, and they build up and bioaccumulate in fish and wildlife. It's just not good.
Yeah, I'm glad the governor of Wisconsin's talking about that because that's a real deal. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we have Kathy Coates up next here, author of To Banish Forever, a Secret Society, the Ho-Chunk, and the Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh,
when we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP. along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Wow. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society Press and All My Relations Arts, presenting a book reading and signing of To Banish Forever, a secret society, the Ho-Chunk, and ethnic cleansing in Minnesota, written by Kathy Coates.
Yes, it is. And we are so blessed to have Kathy on because she's on her book signing world tour, and we're absolutely happy to see her on. And great job on TPT. I happen to be down there with you, and really excited to have you on. Kathy, welcome.
Thanks, Robert. Great to see you.
Right on. Hey, you know, what made you, or what is the book about here?
So the book is really about ethnic cleansing that happened in Minnesota, but it really focuses on this super society, secret society that they targeted the Ho-Chunk people while they were there. It happened after the U.S.-Dakota War, and they sort of unfairly targeted Ho-Chunk people after they used the Dakota War as an excuse to target Ho-Chunk people, which is why I make an argument in the book that this was about that this was ethnic cleansing and really a part of a larger genocide that was happening in America at the time. Of the tribal nations.
So that was in 1862, 1863, for our listeners out there?
Yes, yep. So in 1862, the Dakota people, they were waiting for annuities to be brought from the government, and they were basically at the brink of starvation because the government was failing to uphold their part of a treaty, and they were forcing them into these starvation conditions. They kept extending credit and refused to open up food stores, even though they were starving. And so it really just pushed Dakota people into warfare at the time. And so over the winter, all the colonists, settler colonists in the area, basically they were just bloodthirsty for Dakota people and really Ho-Chunk people too. And the men in Mankato, all the town fathers, the lawyers, some of them were state legislatures. They formed this secret society as sort of a way to pressure the federal government into forcing a removal without any treaties.
So why did you write this book?
This book is meant to be a start of justice work for Ho-Chunk people in the state of Minnesota. It's meant to recognize that Ho-Chunk people were here in the state before it was a state. They always were here. You're still here in the state. The Historical Society and the state in general really recognize 11 tribes who have been here, but Ho-Chunk people are never listed in that. They're never added into history, or rarely, I should say, added into history. When there's Dakota War commemorations, they're rarely a part of those commemorations. And this is really just meant to bring attention that Ho-Chunk people are part of Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on. And I remember talking to you a couple of years ago when somebody, Barry Hand, forwarded me your college thesis and on the removal of Ho-Chunk. And to me, that was amazing because two things, you had information there and you had names too, and specific things about the secret society and also how that came about with the building, memorial box that was in that building.
Yeah, so after about a decade or two after, well, maybe it wasn't that long. It was about 7 years, actually. It was found later, but a few years after the war, I believe it was Sheldon Barney, who I think was a member of the Knights of the Forest. He participated in this ceremony at Mankato State University, and at the time, it was really common to put time capsules in the cornerstones of buildings. Almost all of the state universities in Minnesota had some kind of time capsule in their old main, is what they called the first building that they built at the state universities. And So I believe it was Sheldon Barney, because there's newspapers articles describing him being at the ceremony and speaking at the ceremony and putting things in the time capsule. Somebody, though, put this ritual document in the time capsule. And this ritual was sort of a program for their meetings and their ceremonies. It contained their oath of office and sort of described their ritual ceremony that they would go through at each meeting. And somebody printed this on a printing press in 1863, Minnesota. Only one of them has survived, but I can imagine there was more printed.
Right.
Well, it's interesting, too. I got the vibe when I read your book was that this person was kind of braggadocious about it and wanted to be part and involved in a lot of things, and was kind of showing off and really didn't look forward to what may be possible ramifications or how people felt about how the Ho-Chunk or anybody was treated back then.
Right. The articles he wrote, he sort of presented that they saved the town from the Ho-Chunk people, and they would have, the Ho-Chunk people would still be there today if it wasn't for this Knights of the Forest group, which is debatable if that is true. But he sort of, they try to brag about it. They were bragging about it without bragging about it, I guess, if that makes sense.
But
yeah.
Well, that's cool. So you know, yeah, I'm sorry. That's cool. I think one of the things too, because it turned into a book. Tell me about that process, and also tell me what you learned after, you know, your initial paper for your grad studies turned into a book. You must have found a lot of different, you know, where's the bodies buried, basically, and a lot of names and things like that.
Well, when I was writing the paper, I had a one-track mind of finding these guys and who they were. And I had four names right away. So once you have four names, it's not too hard to figure out the rest of them, especially these guys, since they were state legislators and bankers and lawyers. They were all over town. They still have their names on the streets. And Charles Chapman has his house is on the National Historic Register. It's still standing in Mankato. So I was really focused on trying to find more names. And I was also trying to find out if they actually committed actual violence. So there was one story where by one of the knights where they said they would send armed men out to the reservation to surround the reservation and lie in wait so that they would shoot anyone who left the reservation. And so I thought there must have been some murders. And so I was looked through all of the newspapers in Mankato looking for any report of anything happening to Ho-Chunk people. And I read all the agent letters and everything I could find. I did find one report of a murder happening over by the cities and by the Mississippi River. But, you know, there's also a lot of quotes from people saying a lot of these killings and murders went unreported, and because it was, there just wasn't a lot of law enforcement, or, you know, just people weren't really watching, and right. So there might just be some that were lives that were lost, and I'll never know from the record. So there was that, but I was overly focused on finding out more men, and I never did find that. Mm-hmm. So after I got the contract with the Historical Society to write the book, I wanted to focus more on fleshing out some more of the Ho-Chunk history. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Little Priest Tribal College, I got books from there. The tribal historic officer helped me with things from spelling of the leaders' names. Mm-hmm. There's just lots of, I heard from people on different leaders. In my thesis, I focused on certain leaders and not other leaders in the Ho-Chunk history. So I brought in some more, such as Dandy,
yeah.
And who is a beloved Ho-Chunk leader. And that was something I didn't know when I wrote the paper. So just things like that, things that are not only trying, I tried to find more information on those four men, but it was definitely, I definitely was able to better flesh out some more of the Ho-Chunk history before they came to Minnesota, which is something that my paper was lacking a lot.
You know, we are here.
Broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest. With everything lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Tomorrow, the White House will redesignate Yemen's Houthi rebels as global terrorists. Two officials familiar with the decision say it's in response to the Iran-backed militia's attacks on commercial shipping in the Red Sea. The Republican debate this week in New Hampshire, hosted by ABC News and WMUR-TV, is canceled after Nikki Haley refused to participate. Former President Trump at a rally in New Hampshire tonight.
If you want to defeat the radical left Democrats and save America, you must vote for your favorite president of all time, Donald J. Trump, this week.
He was joined by Vivek Ramaswamy, who dropped out last night and endorsed him. A stopgap funding bill has cleared a key test vote in the Senate. A final vote's expected by Thursday. The government could shut down on Friday night at midnight without at least a short-term funding bill in place. A federal judge blocked JetBlue's merger with Spirit Airlines, saying it could lead to higher airfares. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Democratic law firm is asking the state Supreme Court to reconsider the state's congressional maps. The Elias Law Group filed the case on Tuesday. They say that last month's decision to draw new legislative maps warranted another look at the state's congressional maps. Republicans currently hold six of the state's congressional seats. The court will have to move fast with just 11 months to go before the November election. Marshfield Clinic workers across Wisconsin are being furloughed. 3% of the nearly 12,000 people who work for the healthcare system have to take unpaid time off. The furloughs come after a round of budget cuts in November and after talks about a merger with Essentia Health fell through last week. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
With weather on the Eagle, I'm Corey Hartman. Wind chill advisory tonight. One more bitterly cold night. 4 below 0, wind chills to 15 below. For Wednesday, partly sunny, highs near 13. 12 on Thursday and some reinforcing cold air for Friday and Saturday. Finally to the 30s by Monday.
Right now, 3 degrees.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest, not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Soaring from high above Riverside Park and Granddad's Bluff, this is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society Press and All My Relations Arts, presenting a book reading and signing of To Banish Forever, A Secret Society, The Ho-Chunk, and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota, written by Kathy Coates.
Hey, and we'll be there tomorrow to celebrate the opening of the release of this book.
Yes.
Kathy will be doing a reading and a Q&A, and I already know that there's going to be a lot of people there. We just stopped there, Haley and I, to scope out the situation because we're going to do our show tomorrow live from All My Relations on 1414 Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. So come on out there, and her books will be for sale. Mm-hmm. And also, we're going to bring a little swag, too, from Native Roots Arts, too, to sell, like a little hat and shirt and things like that. But again, hey, welcome, Kathy. And it's interesting. Welcome back. It's interesting. Haley and I were talking a little bit. She's in studio here at the Hordosh, the blue clay house here in Minnesota. And we were talking in between the break, and one of the significant things that I always bring up, and maybe you can elaborate more on this, is that the Knights of the Force were the precursor of the Klan.
Yeah, I mean, I get asked a lot to compare them to the Ku Klux Klan, or were they like the Ku Klux Klan, or were there some of the same members in the Ku Klux Klan? But the Ku Klux Klan did not come out for a few years after the Knights of the Force, actually, because the Civil War was actually going on at the same time as the U.S.-Dakota War. And so the Knights of the Force were really only in existence for about 4 months. From January till May, or at least that's what they said. But they did say they had hand signs that they would recognize each other decades later on the street. So, so they always, I do talk in the book about this secret society tradition with the Freemasons and the Odd Fellows. And there was one called the Knights of the Golden Circle who, they would argue for slavery. They're proponents of slavery in the South. A golden circle of slavery is what they wanted. But there was not a lot of Knights of the Golden Circle in Minnesota, but these other secret societies, all the men in Mankato were parts of some secret society or another, or some fraternal organization. And I talk about how they're kind of like a social web. They all were in this organization and that organization, and it gave them connections with each other. It would also give them connections when they went to a new town, when they would just move and they wouldn't have strangers everywhere, then they could go to another Mason and have a friend in that town. But that was all before the Ku Klux Klan. They were around before the Ku Klux Klan right here in Minnesota.
Well, what's interesting, too, is that the secret society and the other secret societies you talk about, one of their goals is genocide. Right. So, and not only early gang signs, but I'm interested. I haven't heard you talk about this, but I'm really interested in, and you don't have to get too deep in it, but what was some of their rituals?
So, well, they were just sort of like, they would have the worthy chancellor, and then they would sort of go through an oath where they would take an obligation, where they would say, I, whatever their name was, do solemnly swear to use everything under my power to cause the removal of all Indians from the state. That's a direct quote from their ritual. And the title of the book, To Banish Forever, is actually directly from the ritual. To banish forever every single Indian that is in this state of Minnesota. They don't even mention the Ho-Chunk people in the ritual. The only reason we know that it was about the Ho-Chunk people is because of all the newspaper accounts that they talked about later. But they would have hand signs, and they would go through these sort of, they modeled it after the Masons. Masons was sort of the golden standard of fraternal orders, and they would have objects, and you know, it's sort of like in robes and very sort of medieval, almost like an academic graduation or like a church ceremony type thing, where they would go through these rituals and then they would learn a hand sign. And they had a whole process on how to recruit people to the organization. they would sort of try to figure out if they were on their side of the issue of removal. And then they would secretly bring them to this meeting. And then after they knew they were on their side of the issue, they would bring them into a back room and then ask if they wanted to be in the secret society. Even the recruiting process itself was sort of a ritual. And then they went through an initiation process. That was another ritual. And the worthy chancellor was the leader of it all, which is the same name that the leader of the Masons, I believe, used, the worthy chancellor.
Wow. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about what happened directly to the Ho-Chunk and how they were removed and where to.
So when they, in all through the history, the Ho-Chunk were removed five times to five different reservations. Mm-hmm. They were removed first to Iowa, and then they were forced to Long Prairie, and then they were moved to Mankato, and then the reservation, the next one was in Crow Creek, and the next one is the final one in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And all that time, Ho-Chunk sort of moved back and forth, so a lot of them just refused to ever go. From Mankato, the removal was sort of, they had been trying to remove them the whole time. They had petitions before Ho-Chunk even came to Blue Earth County. And then the whole time they were in Blue Earth County, they kept sending petitions to the state to please move the Ho-Chunk reservation somewhere else. This is prime farmland that we want to have. So once the war happened, then they sent more petitions and they thought the government will surely remove them now. And at this time, out at the reservation, they had just cut the reservation in half and they were trying to force the other half into what was called allotments. So they were trying to break up the half of the reservation into smaller, so each family had their own little parcel of land, which a lot of tribal nations feel threatens their sovereignty because it takes away their land and sovereignty. That's an issue of its own. But at the time when they started forcing them off the reservation, the people who were resisting allotment decided that they wanted allotment because at least it gave them title and ownership of the land because it would give them patents and legal ownership. But it was too late for that. So Congress, they signed an act of, there was an act of forced removal from Congress. There was the first time they were moved without any negotiations or any treaties. The Ho-Chunk people never got to speak on their own behalf. Cumming Thunder Winneshiek was one leader who had to be forced by gunpoint by soldiers off the land. He was the last, his group was the last to come. And then they put them on ships and they shipped them down the river and back up the Missouri to Crow Creek in South Dakota, which is the most destitute place. And hundreds of people. Amy Lone Tree, historian, who will be with us tomorrow night, has wrote about the devastating loss of Ho-Chunk people during that winter.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey, on the bright side, let's talk a little bit about Dandy. I think what a character, and his name is Roaring Thunder. So it's Wakunja Jari, it looks like. And
kind of like yours.
Well, I'm Distant Thunder, and I'm Dandy, too. Talk a little bit about Dandy, because he's kind of a character.
Yeah, Dandy is, he was called Dandy because he had fanciful dress. So he wore bright colors and all of that. But he was definitely a character. And he would he was kind of a prankster on the U.S. soldiers. They were always trying to force him out of Wisconsin, and they would arrest him, and then he would run away, and they would arrest him again. And he would, one time he pretended to be sick, and he got the soldiers to carry him into the carriage, and then they untied him, and then as soon as he was free, he took off running.
Well, he had gone back to Wisconsin, I don't know, 10 times more than that. I mean, he'd just to reappear after being pushed off to one of the five places you spoke of earlier.
Yeah, and that was a really common, throughout all the years, the agents would get letters from Wisconsin saying please come get the Ho-Chunk people. They're all over. And they would try to send bounty hunters, and they would pay bounty hunters to go arrest them. And they did try. In 1873 was probably the most devastating. They had the U.S. military go and do one roundup in 1873 where elders were crying and kissing the ground, and they put them in boxcars on a train. Yep. And brought them to Nebraska, to the reservation. And that was probably the worst moment in all of the removals that I read about. And that's, you'll hear that in Ho-Chunk history when you read Ho-Chunk stories and Ho-Chunk books. And that was really a moment that lives on. And they'll talk, there's in their memory, about being put on the boxcar trains.
You know, in researching this, because you are a researcher, what was the most surprising thing for you to go, oh my God, I did not know this, or that surprised you the most?
I think the existence of the Knights, I think, was a little bit shocking. I think a lot of Minnesotans like to think we were on the good side of the Civil War, but there was just a lot going on here in Minnesota, and they were really committing genocide and ethnic cleansing right here in Minnesota. And so, you know, were they on the good side? I don't know.
But, which race?
Right.
And I would say the story from 1873 that I just said was really it was heartbreaking, I guess, more than shocking. But when you read about the pain that they were in being forced onto the train, it's really heart-wrenching to read.
Right, and I always feel like when we were pushed off all the way to Nebraska, we were really pushed out to a rock to die, because there was no land really to farm. As one of the things that was brought up in your book is that there were crops already in the ground, and it's the most, the best soil in the world, and they were removed, and people just moved into their houses.
Yep, just started taking up all their fields and used their crops for the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, Kathy, thank you so much for being on. Can't wait to see you tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. I still don't know what I'm going to wear, but I'll probably end up wearing my polo tie and jacket like I always do.
We're excited to
see you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and that was Kathy Coates, the author To Banish Forever, A Secret Society, The Ho-Chunk, and The Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota.
Thanks to everyone who's continued to support AM 950. Good news, the AM 950 2024 calendar is ready to go, featuring photos I took around Minnesota and important progressive dates. Members that sign up with a one-time $25 membership will receive a 2024 AM 950 calendar as a thank you. Make a one-time $50 or $100 donation, you'll get the AM 950 calendar and the brand new AM 950 tote bag as a thank you. Go to am950radio.com for all the details on the membership. That's am950radio.com. Thank you so much for supporting AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Become a teacher and ignite change. Join the St. Paul Urban Residency Program to become a teacher in just 15 months. You can earn your master's degree and teaching license from the University of St. Thomas while earning a $30,000 stipend, single health care, and dental benefits. As an added bonus, next year's cohort, all residents will receive $20,000 towards their tuition. Apply now. Applications due February 28, 2024. Visit spps.org/sutr.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more.
Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, that was a great interview.
That was a good one.
Yeah, one in a row. I'm on a roll now. No, just give that quick shout out again about tomorrow at 5:30 at All My Relations in Minneapolis.
Yeah, we'll be doing Native Roots Radio. We'll be beginning a broadcast at 5 o'clock tomorrow, live at All My Relations Arts Gallery, which is 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Tomorrow, Wednesday, January 17th, the book signing and reading will take place from 5:30 to 7 p.m.
Yeah, excited to be there. Amy Lone Tree will speak, and I'll say a few words, but Amy will have a lot more great things to say. And I think Bill Quackenbush might show up, which would be a great deal. And he's our historian out of Ho-Chunk, and he'll have some great words. He's excited to see and hear about the book, too. And I think he was one of the people that helped Kathy vet out a lot of pronunciations and correct spellings and and correct history, too. So
awesome.
So, again, it's what's interesting about this, Haley, is that this book is that, you know, Kathy's a researcher. So, you know, it's not full of opinions and romance. It's the straight story of what happened to Ho-Chunk and how it happened and who did it. And a lot of the characters, as she said, that were in the Knights of the Forest were prominent Minnesotans.
Yeah. And just I was curious to hear that one of the houses of the Knights of the Forest is still standing in Mankato and is actually registered in the Minnesota, what'd she say, the history?
A building historical site or something like that.
Curious to see, you know, I've only been to Mankato once, but curious to see and maybe just walk around that land and kind of pick up on what you're feeling walking around there. Yeah. And don't know what kind of spirits are there, but ancestors for sure.
I just got to say one thing to that: land back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's kind of a thing, and I'm sure Mankato, knowing a little of the background of the history, nobody's really helped with this book from Mankato or returned any emails, which is not surprising because they have blood on their hands with the 38 plus 2, and then there's this. So there's a lot of history that they're not facing and would be nice if they did, and only to acknowledge it, of course. The people that were mainly involved with that are not alive. So, I mean, that's talk about real history. And I think that's kind of the fight we're dealing with now in 2024 is whose history are we reading? Are we reading, you know, the all white history? You know, I saw on a TikTok, it was funny. I can't remember who it was, but basically somebody that was doing a curriculum for a school district basically erased every BIPOC person on there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And can they do that?
Yeah, they can do whatever they want, you know, when it comes to that. So that's what we talk about and what we're fighting and what this big election is going to be about coming up, the presidential election, is are we going to be a nation that's growing and healing, or are we going to go back to the days of old and maybe even more fascism than, you know, and what's concerning about that is a BIPOC person and supporter of all our BIPOC is that they'll come for us first, but our other friends, you'll be next. So that's what's on. What's on the agenda and what's on the platform with this next presidential election? you know, last night Trump won by over 50%. But really the question is there was 50% of those voters that were against him.
Right.
So there's the other side of that. Here's a former president that can't get a high amount of people to vote for him in his in his election. So that's another way to look at it, right?
Yeah, and talk about a secret society, you know, that's doing
he's
no
not
good.
Secret, though.
Exactly, he's telling a public you, society.
Yeah, he's gonna, you know, I've seen this more and more often. It's like, I'm gonna drill my first day. And he means drilling oil, and I'm sure he's got some people that are paying him off there for that, too. But it'll be interesting today. He's in a court case after winning. What kind of irony or what kind of life or what kind of supporters are dealing with that when you have the president of the United States, former president of the United States, wins an election in the Iowa primary, and then the next day is in court for rape.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then people are still voting for him. But we outnumber him, Haley. We just have to ignite our people and get our people excited and register and tell our young ones like yourself and younger that, you know, it's worth joining in the democracy if, you know, you wonder what happened or these things. It's like we have to engage and we have to, you know, get out there and get the vote out there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I just want to go back to Amy Lowntree for a second.
Yeah.
Amy will be with us tomorrow at All My Relations Arts Gallery tomorrow evening. Amy's also an enrolled Ho-Chunk.
Yes.
And she's a professor of history at... Yeah, that deserves a round of applause.
Yeah.
It does. Amy's a professor of history at the University of California, Santa Cruz in California. Her scholarly research focuses on indigenous history, visual cultural studies, and museum studies. Her publications include Decolonizing Museums, Representing Native America in National and Tribal Museums, a co-edited book with Amanda J. Cobb, The National Museum of the American Indian, Critical Conversations from 2008. And she also co-authored the volume People of the Big Voice,
right,
Photographs
there
of Ho-Chunk Families by Charles Van Schaick from 1879 to 1942.
Well, and my great-great Choka, which is grandpa, has a picture in that book, and we have it blown up here in the studio.
Yeah.
And so he'd be your great-great-great Choka.
Great-great-great Choka.
Yeah. I see the resemblance.
Oh, thank you. Me too, as in you.
Yeah, but, from behind, maybe.
maybe. But I just want to give a shout out. So Amy will also be speaking at the Great Plains Art Museum January 25th at 5:30 p.m. This will be part of the Centering Indigenous Voices in Museums series. She'll be talking about her book, Decolonizing Museums and Memorials.
Mm.
This speaker series features Indigenous museums and cultural professionals who are working to change the narrative and elevate Native creative expression. So that's a big one to check out, too. Keep your eye on Amy Lowntree. She's doing really, really great things for all of us Natives and specifically the Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, and it's good. It'll be good to see her again. And I know her and Kathy have become fast friends and speak a lot, especially with the opening. I always want to say the opening of this movie, but the drop of this book. So,
right,
totally excited and ready to move forward on this.
Well, and I think now that you just brought it up as a movie, it kind of reminds me of the Osage Nation and their fight for their oil, and it's kind of like the Ho-Chunk and their fight for their soil.
That rhymed, but also I think that was going on all across Turtle Island.
True.
And there's some degrees, but there's always been removal. They've always wanted, the white settlers and the government have always wanted our land.
Yeah.
We'll move us, you know, with Osage, they move into a rock too, you
exactly
know, not to be able to farm there. And then they had a smart lawyer that said they wanted to keep what was up below the ground and above the ground, and mm-hmm. that's how they became the richest people in the world at the time.
Well,
another good show there, Haley. One in a row, or two in a row, or we're up there many shows in a row.
Getting up there for sure.
Hey, if you're part of the resistance.
Soaring from high above on Alaska and French Island, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.